This week on the cash flow debates, I'm going to walk you through five surprising books that will help you as an entrepreneur to unravel the financial challenges you're facing. So I've tried to pick books that I think will come at your business challenges in a unique way. I don't want to suggest the standard books everybody else is suggesting. They have helped me personally as a business owner, and I hope and believe that they will help you. Let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Cashflow Debates. My name is Eddie Hood. I'm one of the partners here at Ignite Spot Outsourced Accounting. Now, it's just me today. My esteemed colleagues and partners are off on vacation, so you are stuck with the lone book nerd. That's what I am, is a book nerd. Now, I actually turn to books quite a bit because I find not only solace in them, but education. And they have helped me through the years to figure out how to best grow my company and think through challenging problems. I have found personally that being an entrepreneur is terrifying, it's lonely, and it is complicated because very few people have walked this road and can walk you through how to sort of navigate these minefields. And so I turn to books and other thoughtful people to help me consider what I need to do. So I've got five books for you today that I think will really help you find some direction in whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. Now, whether you're trying to grow a multi-billion dollar business or you're trying to build a lifestyle business that will just support the things you want to do to bring you happiness, these books will help. Okay, so the first book I want to share with you today is 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals by Oliver Berkman. This is a fantastic book because it attacks the idea of how you're managing your time, but it's not the standard sort of get it done book that walks you through basic to-do lists and how to manage your calendar. Oliver approaches time management from more of a philosophical view, which I absolutely love. I think anytime an author can help us see the bigger picture of something rather than just give us sort of a template of how to do stuff is more useful, because I bring my own personal problems and challenges and needs to this book. And if I'm presented with really good questions that make me think, then that's a good book. So again, we are looking at the philosophical use of your time and helping you realize that on average, you've got about 4,000 weeks in your life and they are valuable and should not be wasted. And if you're going to invest that time in running and growing a business, it should be invested well. I want to share with you a quick passage from each of the books today. And on this was on page 51 under the subheading, The Pitfalls of Convenience. Oliver says, "There's one further, especially insidious way in which the quest for increased efficiency warps our relationship with time these days, the seductive lure of convenience. Entire industries now thrive on the promise of helping us cope with having an overwhelming amount to do by eliminating or accelerating tedious and time-consuming chores." Now, I don't know about you, but I have lots of options for how to solve, accelerate, automate processes in my business. And they're all sort of interesting to me. I always think if I can make things faster and more efficient, that's going to be better, right? Not always the case. Oliver's making the argument here that sometimes convenience can be a pitfall. And I've seen that in my own business where I have invested too heavily in softwares. I've invested too heavily in programs. And that sort of removes me from the responsibility of thinking for myself. I just assume I've bought this thing, it's got to work, here we go. And then all of a sudden the business doesn't work as well as I think it should, or the software doesn't get adopted by all of my employees the way that I wish it would, right? And that's because I put too much stock in convenience and didn't really put the necessary oomph into making this thing work. So his argument, if you're going to put time towards making life more convenient, you need to be aware that there can be too much convenience, and that removal of yourself from the equation can actually cause some problems. So check this book out, 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mere Mortals by Oliver Berkman. The second book I want to share with you today is Gino Wickman's Traction. Now, when I first was given this book, our partner, Dan Luthi, came across this book. He's on the podcast all the time. But Traction is a really great book because it has changed everything we do at Ignite Spot. Just to give you sort of a behind the scenes view of what it's really like here, we are accountants and we sell our time to businesses. And that sounds like it should be easy to do, but it's not, because you have this capacity problem, right? If I have one person who is really capable and intelligent and educated in accounting, well, they still only have so many hours in a day. And I can't give that new person 20 clients in the beginning. It will flood them, they will fail, they don't have the capacity for it. You slowly have to build up their skill set and their ability to handle that amount of work before you give it to them. Now, running a business like that was challenging for us because we're virtual as well. So we have staff all throughout the United States and we're managing people in different phases of their career. As leaders, we really struggled with trying to figure out how to keep people happy, how to keep them motivated, and how to keep them on task with our goals. And as we sat there and thought about it, we realized our goals as a leadership company weren't very well defined. And so we needed a system to help us solidify what we were thinking so that we could spread that idea system out to the rest of the company. We went through a lot of different methodologies, but Traction is the one that we landed on. The book here talks about how they have sort of a predefined meeting schedule, how there's a system for setting goals and passing that down to the people that work for you. And if you know anything about me, I despise meetings. I don't like them. I feel like my life is full of too many meetings as it is. And Traction only added a few more meetings to my life. But oddly enough, I started to really enjoy those meetings because they actually got things done. So no affiliation to Traction. I'm not sponsored by them in any way or any of these books, but it has worked for me in my business. It has gotten my leadership team together. We get together once a week for these sort of pulse meetings, these level 10 meetings. And then once a quarter, we get together as a big leadership team to reset our goals and refocus. It's a good system. It's a good methodology. And I think you will find value in that. Just to give you a flavor of what this book is like, I wanted to read a quick passage for you. He says, "The more clearly everyone can see your vision, the likelier you are to achieve it. Focus everyone's energy towards one thing and amazing results will follow." In his book, Focus, Al Ries illustrates this point in this way. "The sun provides the earth with billions of kilowatts of energy, yet if you stand in it for an hour, the worst you'll get is a little sunburn. On the other hand, a few watts of energy focused in one direction is all a laser beam needs to cut through diamonds." That's a good summary of Traction. The whole point of the book is to help you stop scattering your force in every possible direction and bring your whole team together into a specific direction so you can finally get something done. The third book I'd like to recommend to you today, if you are interested in really building a healthy business, is The Psychology of Money. I've talked about this on the podcast before. Morgan Housel wrote a book about finance, and we've read thousands of those. If you're a business owner, you've probably read your fair share of finance books. So I was hesitant to pick this book up at first because I thought, man, my accounting background, my finance background, I don't know if I can stomach another book. But I found this book to be different because much like Oliver Berkman's take on time management, which had more of a philosophical approach, Morgan Housel does the same for finance here. He looks at your relationship with money, not so much how to invest your cash and what, you know, indices you should put your money in, but more your personal and your mental relationship with your money, which I would argue is really valuable for you as a business owner. You need to know and understand how you relate to money so that you can better manage it. Some of us were raised to be afraid of money. Some of us were raised to revere it. Some of us count every dime. Some of us spend a ton and we deal with it later. But just to give you a quick sense of this book, he says, "Everyone has their own unique experience with how the world works. And what you've experienced is more compelling than what you learned secondhand." So all of us, you, me, everyone, go through life anchored to a set of views about how money works that vary wildly from person to person. What seems crazy to you might make sense to me. That's his initial argument, and I love it because, again, there's no right way to get wealthy. There's your way, but you need to understand your way. The fourth book I want to share with you today is The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Halliday. This is another philosophical book. It's based on the tenets of Stoicism. And the reason why I like this book is because it helped me get over my fear of challenges in business. I was always looking for the least resistance in getting something done in my company. How do I talk to my employees without them hating me? How do I launch a product without it completely failing? How do I do X, Y, or Z and have everything go just right? Well, What the Stoics and what Ryan Holiday are arguing here is that there is an obstacle in your path. And by skirting around that obstacle, you're not really getting the job done. Usually the best thing you can do is to push right into that obstacle, to have courage and to push your hands on that boulder and push with everything you got and move the thing out of the way. This means having hard conversations with employees, really being honest with them. It means sitting down with your partners and telling them where you're grateful for their support and where you're a little upset that they're not doing what you expect them to be doing, and so on. This is the hard stuff of business that has to get done that none of us want to do. Nobody wants to do the awful, challenging things, but that's what makes a business truly successful. He says in here, problems are rarely as bad as we think, or rather, they're precisely as bad as we think. It's a huge step forward to realize that the worst thing to happen is never the event, but the event and losing your head, because then you'll have two problems. One of them is unnecessary and post hoc. So I love this idea. He's pointing out the idea that there's going to be bad things happening in your business. Bad events will take place. That's not the problem. The problem is when you lose your head. So if you see that big boulder in the road of your business and you know you've got to push against it and you start to panic, you get emotional, you freak out, that's when your business falls apart. It's not the fact that the rock is in the road. It's the fact that you lost your crap, right? So read the obstacle as the way, and it will help you start to revalue the blessing of obstacles. You'll start to see them as good things. All right, the last and fifth book I'd like to share with you today is by a gentleman named Seth Godin. If you are an entrepreneur and if you like to read, you've probably come across his name. He is one of the greatest marketing authors we have come to know. He writes a lot about how to be authentic in the marketplace and how to make your voice heard when there's just 1,000 people shouting the same thing. His favorite, or my favorite book of his, is called The Practice. The subtitle here is Shipping Creative Work. Now, this book was really designed for people who want to create a brand for themselves. And so this is for you, you know, if you wanted to create your own blog, or if you wanted to create a YouTube channel like I've done here, or a podcast. It was originally designed for people like that who had the fear of getting up every day, doing something creative, and then sending it out into the world for feedback. It's a terrifying prospect. But I'd like to apply this to entrepreneurship today. Because as a business owner, if you're going to be profitable, you have to get good at shipping your product out the door and getting feedback from customers as quickly as possible. And I share that because I have been in many coaching sessions with entrepreneurs who aren't willing to do that. The common story in their head is instead, I need more time at my desk. I need to go through the Excel files more. I need to write a bigger, more extensive business plan. I have to get everything figured out before I hit go. While that is commendable that you want to get everything right, Seth's comment here, his argument is that sitting at your desk, you'll never get it right because you don't know what people want. You don't know what the market wants. You don't know what is good and what is bad. You can only assume that. And if you're going to stake your reputation and all of your money on this idea, you want as much empirical evidence as possible. Empirical meaning that you get feedback from your senses. You see things, you hear things, you can taste. All of the senses are going off to tell you whether something's good or bad. So when you ship your work out, customers will give you immediate feedback. I don't like this feature. This isn't working. This is broken. There's a bug in the software. We're not advocating that you ship bad things, but we're advocating that you ship something so that you can get feedback. And then you go through the process of iteration. Iteration meaning that you learn from that round and you make it better and you ship it again. Then you get feedback. You learn from that round, you make it better and you ship it again. This is how businesses become healthy over time. I'd like to read a quick passage here for you. This is section 56. They're just sort of small passages he's written in this book. There's a bunch of them. This is number 56, titled Embracing, with the word yet in parentheses. It says, I slipped in a parenthetical earlier. It's not working yet. That's the only reassurance you truly need. There's a practice. The practice is proven and you've embraced it. He's talking about the practice of shipping your work out, just getting good at sending it out and getting feedback. He goes on to say, now, all that's needed is more time, more cycles, more bravery, more process, more of you, much more of you. More idiosyncrasy, more genre, more seeing, more generosity, more learning. It's not working yet. And to add to that message, all he's saying is that if you're trying to launch a new business, you guys, or if you're trying to get profitable and you haven't figured it out, you haven't figured it out yet. All you have to do is continue shipping your work out, getting feedback, and making it better and better. And eventually, you'll have built something that people are willing to pay for. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the Cashflow Debates, I'd like to encourage you to go to ignitespot.com for a couple reasons. One, you can access our podcast there and you can see new episodes coming out. But also, if you're of the point in your business where you want to get financially healthy and you've considered hiring an outsourced accountant, we would love to have a free meeting with you. So just at the very top of our website there, you can click on a button that says free QuickBooks file review. Really what we're doing is one of our professional certified accountants will meet with you, go through your QuickBooks file and do an analysis of how healthy the thing is and give you some pointers on where we can make adjustments. If you find that meeting helpful and you want to get some pricing on what it would take for us to be your accountants in full, we're happy to do that. If not, if you're just looking for some help and guidance on your accounting file, you'll get that for free. And again, thank you so much for watching and for being a part of the podcast. And until next week, stay profitable.